Hello and welcome to the Viva Life Show. I'm your host, Josh Boulding, and I'm going to jump straight into it. I have a big smile on my face this morning and a heart that is wide open because I'm going to talk about an email newsletter that I sent out this week that drew perhaps the most polarized reaction I have ever had to any piece of work that I've ever released. And being perfectly honest, I expected it. And I am extremely grateful for it. I did not want to hit send on this email and for everyone to agree and to hang on to every single word that I said. I wanted to open up a platform for respectful and heartfelt debate about a subject that I believe not enough people are talking about, and that is 5G. Now, on one hand, we had perhaps 80 to 90% of our audience, people who read my newsletters, people that perhaps don't usually reply, came forward, and there was such a wave of gratitude and hope and kindness in the words that I read. I've got goosebumps now talking about it, because it showed me how much people care. And on the other hand, there was another percentage of the audience that did not agree with what I was saying. But the thing that gave me even more hope was the people who did not agree came forward in exactly the same manner. They came forward with kindness, they came forward with respect, they came forward with empathy. And even though they did not agree with what I was saying, they challenged my beliefs in such an understanding and patient and loving way that it just reaffirmed to me what I already knew. And that was that this community, whilst we do not have to agree on everything, we share the same values, we share the same philosophy, and we are passionate beyond belief about making a positive difference in the world. And that gives me so much hope, because it's physically impossible for humans to agree on everything, right? And if we did, I would be really worried. If I sent out an email and everyone agreed with every single word that I said, I would be panicking, because I would be like, why are these people not thinking for themselves? The fact that I had such a range of differing opinions, people looking at science, people looking at facts, people looking at evidence, people looking at everything, gave me so much confidence that these are people that are strong enough not to believe something that is fed to them, whether that's by me or via a news source or via social media. You can take the facts and you can take the opinions and you can form your own philosophy on it. And we can talk to each other openly and we can challenge each other about these things. And we can use those conversations to grow even further. And that, my friends, is a beautiful, beautiful thing, because when that happens, we are all pulling in the same direction, and the shift will be massive. So I'm going to jump right into it. So I'm going to read the email newsletter that I sent out for anyone who did not receive it. If you have received it and fully read and absorbed it, then feel free to skip forward a few minutes. However, if you have read it, feel free to listen again, because I want to make sure that the core message of this is fully absorbed. And I don't want people to look at this as a 5G conspiracy, because I do not believe conspiracy theories are helpful, nor are they healthful. I do not believe they're good for our health to indulge in so much fear and negativity around conspiracies. But I do believe it's important to look at the evidence and to be able to form our own opinions. So again, this is not about conspiracies. This is about the fundamental message which I'm trying to portray, and using the 5G debate as a vehicle for that. So I'll get onto it. Last week, I was contacted by a junior reporter from Oxford University for my opinion as a business owner based in Glastonbury who had signed the petition against 5G technology. For those that are unaware, last year, Glastonbury hit the headlines as the first town in the UK to say no to 5G. This decision resulted from the overwhelming majority of residents and local businesses believing that there is not enough evidence to suggest that 5G is safe for humans or for our environment. I want to preface this message by saying that I am not a doctor, scientist, or expert in electromagnetic frequencies, brackets, EMFs. All of my opinions are based on my own individual research, and I would encourage you to do the same before forming any conclusions. I'm also aware that the topic of 5G is a hugely controversial one. Simply having an opinion on the subject opens you up to a lot of criticism. So when the reporter called, there was a big part of my brain that screamed at me to keep quiet. It was my heart that had other ideas. As a business owner, there is absolutely no commercial benefit in me sharing my opinion on 5G. It would have been much safer and easier not to answer the call to the reporter. It would certainly be easier not to hit send on this email to you. But I have always believed in doing what is right, not what is easy. So here goes. Do I believe that 5G is harmful to our health and the planet? Yes. Do I believe that everyone involved in the implementation of 5G around the world is an evil genius? No. Do I believe that 5G caused the coronavirus? No. Is it possible that 5G contributes to symptoms similar to those of the coronavirus? Yes. Do I think it is a smart idea to launch 20,000 5G satellites into space when there is zero evidence of the long-term implications for our health or our planet? Absolutely not. As I type this message, there are telecommunication companies, along with the unreserved support of most major governments, rolling out the fifth generation wireless network, brackets 5G, around the world. Upon completion, every person on Earth will have instant access to super high speed wireless communications from any point on the planet, including rainforests, mid-ocean, and the Antarctic. 5G is very different to any wireless network we have ever seen before. In order to transmit an extremely high amount of data around the world in milliseconds, 5G must be transmitted by extremely high millimeter wave frequencies, up to 300,000 watts per gigahertz of spectrum, brackets 10 to hundreds of times more powerful than the levels currently permitted. As these millimeter waves are poorly transmitted through solid material, the successful completion of 5G will require every carrier to install base stations at every 100 meters in every urban area in the world. In addition, proposals for 5G from space will require the launch of 20,000 satellites in low and medium orbit to blanket the remaining non-urbanized corners of Earth in wireless internet. These satellites will directly influence the electromagnetic properties of the ionosphere and the lower atmosphere, which controls the biological rhythms of our planet and all the creatures that inhabit it. If the plans for 5G come to full fruition, there will be no person, no animal, no insect, and no plant on Earth able to avoid 24/7 exposure to levels of radio frequency that are tens to hundreds of times greater than what exists today. How this impacts the health of humans, planet Earth, and all of her ecosystems remains to be seen. My humble opinion is that this is an experiment not worth testing. There is clear and irrefutable evidence that electromagnetic frequencies, brackets EMFs, impact the human body and our environment in so many ways. We are, after all, electrically charged creatures that carry millions of electrical impulses throughout our nerves and blood vessels every second. What happens to these impulses, our DNA expression, and our entire biological resonance when we are exposed to EMFs at higher frequencies than ever before, at a rate of exposure that lasts 24 hours each day, 365 days per year? What happens to the biological resonance of the animals, birds, insects, and plants that will also be exposed to these EMFs? What happens to the biological resonance of Earth itself? The fact that we are even asking these questions as 5G continues to be rolled out across the planet tells me everything that I need to know. 5G is not the arch nemesis that, once defeated, will restore peace and harmony to the world. 5G is just a symptom of a problem that is deeply ingrained throughout the entire structure of our modern society. If 5G disappeared overnight, the problem would just manifest itself in a different form. For as long as we continue to perpetuate a value system that prioritizes economic growth over our biological and ecological health, we are traveling down a one-way road to extinction. By continuing to roll out 5G technology without unequivocal and irrefutable evidence that it is safe to do so, we are effectively attaching a higher value to our internet speed than we do to the future of our species and our planet. And wherever we look around the world, we see the same value system repeating itself. In the Amazon, we are clearing more than a football pitch size of rainforest every minute, primarily for animal agriculture, because profit is prioritized over the oxygen that we breathe. In the Pacific Ocean, we trawl with fishing nets up to 50 miles long, scooping up entire oceanic ecosystems and wiping out more than 90% of oceanic biodiversity, because fish are worth more on someone's plate than they are in the ocean. In the Congo, children as young as 6 forego their education to spend 15-hour days mining cobalt, because powering our smartphones is more important than empowering their future. This is not the story of a species who needs a stronger Wi-Fi connection. This is the story of a species who needs a stronger connection with our planet, with each other, and with our true selves. So how will our story end? If we are to change the course of our future, it is inevitable that we must also change the entire structure of a society built on individualism, selfishness, and greed. As with any momentous change in power or structure, there will need to be a revolution. But unlike revolutions of the past, this one won't involve swords or bullets or any kind of warfare at all. The revolution of our lifetime isn't about dismantling 5G towers or shooting satellites out of orbit. This revolution has to come from within. In this revolution, we transform our consciousness and awaken to everything we forgot that we were. We realize our interdependence with nature, with the oceans, the forest, the animals, the birds, and each other. We dissolve our illusion of a separate self and surrender to our true essence of oneness with everything else in the universe. Viktor Frankl famously said, "When we're no longer able to change a situation, we are challenged to change ourselves." The moment that this happens, everything we have ever known will change too. How could we prioritize the expansion of technology over the expansion of our consciousness when we realize we are so much more than homogeneous sacks of flesh built to stare at screens? How could we treat other people this way if we realize they had a soul? How could we treat ourselves this way if we realize that we too have a soul? How could we strip Mother Nature of her resources if we realize that she was as much a part of us as our liver or our kidneys? Every time we burn down a forest, we'd just be burning a part of ourselves. Connecting to our true essence is the biggest threat we could ever pose to modern society. It is impossible to operate the same external paradigm when our entire internal paradigm has changed so drastically. And so, my friends, comes the greatest responsibility of our lifetime. Now is not the time to be consumed by the fear of 5G, COVID-19, or anything else that is outside of us. Now is the time to realize all the power we have ever needed has been within us all along. Now is not the time to let the darkness blind us to how far we have come. Now is the time to shine our lights brighter than ever, illuminating the path for others to follow. Now is the time we simultaneously forget everything we ever knew and remember everything we have always been. Powerful, infinite, divine. It isn't going to be easy. It will get even tougher before it gets better. But I promise you that you are not alone in any of this. The revolution is coming. With every ounce of my being, I know it to be true. As for how soon, that part is completely up to us. So, my intention with that message was not to be one that causes fear or panic or alarm. In fact, it was meant to be a message of hope. But what it was meant to do was to examine the value system on which 5G is built. Because I don't believe that 5G is the main problem here. And I also don't believe that 5G is something that was intentionally created to cause harm either to the planet or to us, the human race. I have far too much belief in the goodness of humanity to think that that could ever possibly be the case. However, I do believe that 5G was built on a value system that is fundamentally broken. And that value system is a value that attaches more priority to economic growth than it does to our biological and our ecological health. And like I said in the email, this is not just 5G, right? This problem replicates itself in the fact that we are chopping trees down in the Amazon, the fact that we are fracking for oil, the fact that we're sending kids as young as 6 to mine for minerals that power our smartphones, that grow our economy. All of these things tell me that we as a human race need to get our priorities straight. And until we do that, then there can never be any meaningful change. If we were to go out and dismantle every single 5G tower in the world and put a blanket ban on 5G, then this problem would just repeat itself somewhere else. Because for as long as we continue to attach more value to our economic growth than we do to our health as a planet and as a species, and all the other species that live on it, then there is just, we're going down a one-way road, right? And we all know where that road ends. So I can get into the science behind 5G. And when I sent out that email, there was, like I said, an outpouring of gratitude and kindness for the message that I sent. And there was also people that respectfully came forward and said, here is some science that shows that 5G is safe. And I looked at it, and whilst I was reassured to some level that there is some science that is showing 5G is safe, and it certainly did expand my knowledge on this subject, I also want to look at why this science is there. Because, okay, so first of all, let's ask ourselves what science is. Well, science at its core is about questioning what we know. Science is a belief that nothing that we know is true, and it's about questioning every single hypothesis under a literal sometimes, or a figurative microscope, to actually look at the things that we believe are true and say, right, is this true, or can we prove this to be otherwise? However, unfortunately, most scientific studies are not designed in this way these days. The vast majority of scientific research is independently funded, and when it's independently funded, that means it's done so with some sort of objective in mind. So for example, if we as a company, VivoLife, were looking to run a study showing the benefits of plant-based protein versus whey-based protein, then we might run a side-by-side study comparing people that took the whey-based protein to the plant-based protein and seeing which group was to build muscle faster. Now, obviously, on the face of it, you know, you look at a study that says whey versus plant-based protein, a review, who built muscle faster, and you think this is an impartial study, but really this is being conducted by a plant-based protein company who have the intention to prove that plant-based is as effective or more effective than whey-based protein. So there's a number of ways we can set up the study that would prove it to, that would try and prove our hypothesis. So one is that we can set the study up in a particular way so that the plant-based people have an advantage versus the whey-based people. Or what we can do is we can continue to run studies of this nature until we have one that proves our hypothesis. So we may find that on the first study, there is no difference between whey and plant-based protein. So we throw that study out. That study never gets published, never sees the light of day. Then we do a second one, then we do a third one, then we do a fourth one. And on the fourth one, we finally find that are actually people who took the plant-based protein built muscle at a rate of 1.2 times the rate that of people that took the whey-based protein. So that's a study we publish, and that's a study that goes into PubMed and onto the internet, and the study that gets circled, and it goes on every single vegan forum in the world that says, look, vegans can build muscle faster than people on a whey-based diet or people on an animal-based diet, which scientifically speaking has been proven. There is now some research that shows that it is true. However, is that the actual truth of it? Because that happened one in four studies. And I'm absolutely not saying that this is what has been done with 5G, but I am saying if we look at who funds a majority of the research, it is the telecommunications companies. So that in itself should tell you what their intention is. Their intention, they're not going to fund a study where they are set with the intention to show that it is unsafe. They're going to fund a study that is trying to show that 5G is safe for us to use. I hope, with every fiber of my being, that they have done so impartially, and they've done so they've gone into those studies with the intention of saying, look, if this is bad, if this is bad for the environment or bad for people, then we're not going to go ahead with it. And if they have done that, then bloody fantastic, because that will give me so much faith in humanity and everything that people should stand for, and the vast majority of people do stand for, and that is fairness and health, and putting the health of us and our environment before any kind of economical gain. But obviously we cannot prove that to be the case. So really then we ask ourselves a question: how do we know if any science is true? And the truth is, we don't. Again, like I said, science is about constantly proving or disproving what we thought we knew to be true. So how then, for example, let's use us as a company again, if we're looking at the science behind an ingredient, how can we just look at, let's say, turmeric, for example? If we just looked at studies, there's thousands of studies around turmeric showing that it's beneficial for heart health or brain health, or it can reduce inflammation, or it can protect against Alzheimer's. This research is out there. So we look at who's funding this study. Is it being funded? Is this an impartial study? Or is this a study that's being funded by the world's largest producer of turmeric, for example? So we look at all of those things. And then we would look at the epidemiological data on turmeric as well. So you have the experimental data, which is studies like this, which are set up to, it's a 12-week randomized placebo-controlled trial, which shows is turmeric effective for arthritis or not. And then you have what's called an epidemiological study / an observational study. And this is where you observe groups or cohorts of people who are consuming turmeric, and you look at, okay, well, what's the data points in their health versus people who don't consume turmeric. So you look at the health of people in towns in the north of India, for example, who consume turmeric at an average of 10 grams per week versus the health of people in Italy who do not. And then you can start to say, right, okay, so there is some epidemiological observations that show that consuming turmeric, the people who consume turmeric in India have a lower rate of heart disease than the people that do not consume turmeric. But then are there other factors involved, right? Are they getting more sunlight? Are they getting more sleep? Are they eating a higher quality diet in general? So there's thousands of other factors. Ultimately, science is about looking at all the data that is available and forming the best possible opinion that you can, because that's all we can do. We don't know anything for a fact. And that is what I believe is the opinion we should take when it comes to 5G or any new technology. So here's the point I'm making here. We don't have any long-term epidemiological studies that show that 5G is safe, or even compares places that have used 5G to places that haven't. There is nothing. So the only evidence we have to go with is the short-term experimental data that's been conducted by the telecommunication companies who are funding 5G research. That, to me, is not strong enough scientific evidence to unequivocally say, yes, this thing is safe for humans, for our planet, for everything else that inhabits it. Let's go for it and let's roll it out across the globe and assume that it's going to be safe for the next 10, 20, 30, 50, 70, thousands of years. And it's not going to have any impact on our health or the biological health of the planet. I don't think that's strong enough evidence. And I really, really hope that I'm proved wrong. However, I do not think it's a gamble that's worth taking. I've gone off at a bit of a tangent, because the crux of this message is, for as long as we continue to invest in these technologies that yes, they expand our economic growth, and there is a lot of benefits that come with that, but what is the priority here? Because if the priority was health and environmental health above economic growth, then the billions of pounds that are being spent sending satellites up into space, well, what if this was allocated to providing education in developing countries? What if this was allocated to preventing ocean pollution, into clean energy or reforestation, or an even distribution of resources? Well, surely these are all more important than our internet speed. We would all agree that, but they are not as financially viable, and therefore we continue to roll out the option that is the most financially viable, even potentially at the expense of our health. And again, the health, we do not know, right? So I'm going to hold my hands up and say that I do not know. I got an email from one of our customers called Oliver. So Oliver, if you're listening, shout out to you again for coming forward with some respectful thoughts on and insights onto the whole 5G debate. And he explained to me how the satellites that are going up into space right now, and you guys may have seen them, I was sitting out in my garden a few weeks ago, and it was a beautifully clear night, and I was looking up at the sky, and I saw what I believed was a shooting star come across the sky, and I was like, why the hell is this thing so low, and why is it moving so fast? And I was bemused watching this thing, and I thought, is this a UFO? Is this a shooting star? Like, what the hell is this? And then I saw another one, and it followed the exact same path at the exact same speed. And then another one followed, and another one, and another one. And before I knew it, there was 20 to 30 of these, what I believe were shooting stars, going at the exact same speed, on the exact same line, on the completely equidistant from one another. And I was like, what the hell is going on? I had absolutely no idea. And it was only the next morning when I was researching it, or actually my mum researched it, and she found that actually this is SpaceX. And I was like, ah, penny dropped. And at that point, I had never heard of it. And then I researched SpaceX, and I found that it was part of the 5G being the fifth generation of wireless internet. However, the technology, and this is where Oliver comes in, the technology used by these satellites is not the same technology that's used by the millimeter waves 5G satellite towers that are installed on the ground. This is a different kind of technology, and as Oliver explains, digress that Oliver is a space engineer, that the signals will transmit a message in the 5G spectrum from a phone to a nearby tower. The tower would transfer the message to a ground station and beamed it up into a satellite in the Ka band. The satellite will then beam that back down to another part of the Earth where the message needs to go, also in Ka band. A ground station will receive the signal with the message. The message will be transferred to a different 5G tower where it will be beamed out in the 5G spectrum to the message receiver's phone. So what he's explaining here is that this technology, these satellites, is not blasting the same 5G millimeter waves down to Earth as is being blasted by the satellite towers, the things that are on the ground with the 5G technology. So it's different, and you can tell right from what I'm saying here that I'm not a 5G engineer. And what he's explaining is that the technology that is coming down from these satellites is very similar to what we've used in the past with other satellites, which is fine, which is great. But again, these satellites are going to be beaming this wireless internet now into places on Earth that it's never reached before, the Amazon rainforest, the Antarctic, into the middle of the ocean. And again, are we 100% categorically sure that these places are safe? You know, that the biological resonance of these places will not be affected by this wireless technology, even on the level that we cannot understand. And again, remember that science is about disproving everything we thought we knew. So even if we cannot see anything on the physical level, is it affecting the subatomic level of plants, of animals, of their expression between each other, of their cellular expression, of the communication that is being made on levels we don't even understand? And we don't know. And it's a fun question to ask, but until we know, is it the right thing to be doing to be progressing with this? Or should we say, look, our internet speed is fast enough as it is. Are there other things on this earth that are a priority right now for us to invest our money into? And are there other things that are more of a priority for us to be researching? And I don't have the answers to that. But if everyone was looking at this from a place of, okay, how can we do best for humanity and the planet? Then I believe the outcomes would be very different to how they would be if we were simply saying, how do we prioritize economic growth? So what needs to happen is the question, right? And this is where I don't have the answers. I believe truly for this problem to be fixed, there needs to be a complete revolution of consciousness. And the way that happens is very, very apt for the time we're living in right now. We actually need to connect with ourselves and connect with our truest essence and understand what it means to be a human, right? Because to some people, being human means going to work, staring at a screen, looking at their money going into the bank, buying a new car, buying a nice house, and looking forward to their 2 weeks all-inclusive in Santorini. And that's fine. But to others, being human is a much deeper, more profound experience. And being human means being connected to the earth and to each other and to ourselves and to some to higher dimensions that go far beyond anything that, we experience in this material reality. And when being human means that, then things shift, because if you put yourself in scenario one, then of course you are going to favor anything that expands the economy and allows you to have more stuff and more opportunity and more cash and more things, more stuff. But if human means part two, then you're going to favor things that allow you to connect more with the planet and with each other, and to make more of a difference and to serve others and to love and to experience things that are beyond our physical dimension. So the only way we're going to be able to tip this balance is if more people favor part two than they do part one. And it will be a tipping point, right? Because if you imagine a seesaw, at the moment we've got, say, 80% of people which are leaning towards the economic side and 20% which are leaning towards the biological health, the health of the planet, that the health of themselves, the spiritual side. But as soon as that balance starts to tip, then as soon as more than 50%, it's like a seesaw, as soon as more than 50% are on the other end, then it's going to tip and we can only go one way. And then we start looking at systems and saying, right, is this really in our best interest, or is this just in the best interest of a very powerful few who are going to benefit profitably from it? And then that's when things start to shift, because then we can no longer operate in the same systems that are causing us to think in this way and causing us to make the same decisions that prioritize economic growth, when our value system has fundamentally changed. So this is where our own individual responsibility comes in, and that is to expand our consciousness so far that it is impossible to value the things that we are told are important in a capitalist materialistic society, and to expand it so far that it impacts others, so that others can also understand what is truly a priority. And when we do that, then there is absolutely no stopping us. So the power is in all of our hands, and this is what gives me so much hope, because the time that we are living in right now, I know more and more people are using it as a chance to reconnect with themselves, to reconnect with each other, to understand really what it means, to get off this hamster wheel, maybe for the first time in 20 to 30 years, this hamster wheel you've been running on, where you've been doing something you don't like, to make money for people you don't know, to pay for stuff you don't need, to impress people that you don't like. And now we've had a chance to step off that. We are asking ourselves, wow, is this important? Or is there something more to this? Have I just come to this planet to consume and excrete and then die? Or is there something deeper? Is there a deeper message to this? Am I here to learn? Am I here to discover? Am I here to love? Am I here to make a difference? I believe we're all here for a reason, and we've all come into this lifetime with a responsibility, and now is the chance for us to awaken to that and to see that thing that we were too busy or too distracted or too lost in someone else's story to not see before. Now is the chance we have to see that. And when we see that, then it becomes infectious and it affects others, because when you see someone living with purpose and someone so dedicated to their soul's mission and to serving others and to making a difference, you can't help but to get inspired by it. And you want some of it. And you want to know why that person is so happy and so fulfilled. And then you're going to learn from them. You're going to be like, oh, okay, well, this is their mission. What is my mission? And how can I make a difference? So the time that we are living in is so powerful, and it's giving us the chance to ask these questions. And this is the reason I am not afraid of 5G, is because I know that we as a human race will be able to collectively vibrate higher than 5G or anything else that will be thrown in our way. And the fact that we are asking these questions and having these debates on both sides, respectfully looking at the science that shows that it's safe, respectfully looking at the data that shows that it might not be, and forming our own conclusions and asking these questions and having these conversations, this tells me that we are a society that is waking up to what is important. And that gives me so much confidence. So I'm going to end that here. I think it, I, I feel like I've gone in a million different directions, but I hope this explains where I'm coming at from this and why I'm not afraid of 5G or COVID-19 or anything, because I know that these are simply symptoms of a fundamental problem in society, which I believe is shifting. And I believe in the next 18 months to 2 years, this block, this period is going to be the most profound and revolutionary in human history. And a lot of almost everything that we know is going to come crumbling down. Everything we considered to be true and real and touchable is going to shift. And that is going to allow, much like the fourth generation wireless network to the fifth generation wireless network, this is a whole new network in internet. This is going to allow a complete revolution and a new generation in human consciousness. So let's not waste this opportunity. Let's not sit back and be apathetic, because it's easy to be apathetic. It's easy to think there's so much going on that's out of my control that I may as well just, you know, put Netflix on and eat some popcorn and just enjoy the ride. Well, you can do that, but you can also reclaim your power and know that simply by you transforming on an individual level, the impact it can make is remarkable. And if we all focus on that, then there is only one way this thing's going to go. And I've got so much hope. I really, really do. I'm so excited about it. I'm so excited where the human race is going. I'm so excited to play a one in eight billionth part in this diagram, in this equation, and to be making an impact in the smallest possible way, but also the biggest possible way, because I'm part of this change, and so are you. If you're listening to this, so are you. And it's going to be so much fun. It's going to be difficult. There will be testing times. There will be times when we're brought to our knees and we're crying and it seems impossible. But there will be light at the end of this tunnel. I promise you that. I know it with every part of me knows that it is going to be true. And yeah, I'm ready. And I hope you are too. Love, guys. I will see you again on the next episode.